Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
It's my honor to be with you today. And wherever you are, whatever you're going through, you're not alone. And that's our topic for the series. It's together. I'm very thankful for this series. It's a constant reminder that we're never alone, that God puts us in family. Psalm 66 says, God sets the solitaire in a home and in a family. It's a privilege to be doing life with you, to be doing life together, and to growing in the grace of God through the knowledge of God and also the things that others bring into our lives. It's so easy to feel like it's just me and God, it's just God, and God's got my life, and I don't need anybody. It's so easy to go in that direction. But you know, the reality is God designed us so that we not only need him, but we need each other. Let's go to a passage that I love so much. It's in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read this verse 26 through 38. It begins with these words. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip was an evangelist. He was also a deacon in the church. Said to Philip, said, rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Philip, who had been operating as a deacon in the Jerusalem church, very large, would be considered a mega church today. And then it says that he went to Samaria, sort of in the outskirts of the Samaritans, who were considered not the most attractive people to the Jewish people. There was a lot of feuding between them. And that's the nature of Philip, though, is he went wherever God told him to go. And in this particular moment, he said, now I want you to leave not only Jerusalem, he had already left there, not only Samaria, but I want you to go down this desert road, which he did. And it says that he arose and went. When the angel came to him, it says he arose and went. He didn't fast. He didn't pray. He didn't get a committee. He didn't have a, you know, showing of hands, thinking or asking, is that the right way to go? He just went. And I find that to be really important in my life. When God says, I go, when God gives me directives, don't sit there and get a search committee out. Just do what God wants you to do. And that's what he did. It says there wasn't this. And when he went, there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem. The worship was returning. And when he returned, he was seated in his chariot. In his chariot. That's a big deal. I mean, he was seated in a limousine. And he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. What an amazing book to be reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, remember, there was no New Testament at this time. It had yet to be written. But he had the Bible. He had the scroll that was opened up, not just to the book of Isaiah, but Isaiah chapter 53, the strongest chapter on the Messiah in the entire Tanakh, or the Old Testament, as many Christians call it. And those who read the Bible know that Isaiah is super powerful, super important in all of our lives. Isaiah, it's interesting. It's kind of like it's considered like a glance at the whole Bible in that one book. It's 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. It's 39 chapters of judgment, and that could be like the Old Testament. And then it has 27 chapters of hope. And so it's a very important book. And Isaiah 53 is about the suffering servant that we believe would be Jesus Christ. And here he is reading this story, reading it and wondering, what is this about? And it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. So Philip ran to him. Gosh, I love this. He ran to the chariot. He didn't walk. He didn't, like I said, didn't pray about it, didn't get a committee. He ran to it. And this is really a striking obedience of Philip, willing to go wherever God sent him. And I'm not asking you to go and be a missionary like Philip to go into the different nations, but I am saying, look, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to be someone who's with Jesus, you need to learn what it is to be promptly obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And yes, there are times when we need advice on these things, of course. God doesn't always give it to us where it's an instant response. It could be something over time, like I want you to go to graduate school, or this is the person you're dating, or however God leads you. It's important to know that as he speaks to us, that it's not negotiable. It's a word and a mandate, and oftentimes a command from the living God. I'll never forget those moments in my life where God told me to get out of a relationship or get out of a business or go a certain direction. It wasn't like up for grabs. Hey, can we talk about this, God? I thought we had this arrangement. No, it's important to get right with God and do what he wants you to do. Why? It's for your best. It's for your benefit. It's for my benefit when I obey him. So he ran after, and here's his question. He said to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And then he said, to me, when he asked that question, this is really something that's significant, because a lot of times we go and jump in and try to preach to someone first. But I think the wisdom is to ask questions first and then preach after. And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? He asked. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. And they had a Bible study. Here's what they read. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. This is Isaiah 53. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus Christ. One thing you can count on in the Bible is not a moral code or a moral compass or a moral book. Of course, it has that outcome. But the Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you're good at exegeting scripture, you can start almost at any part of the Bible and end up with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Philip was doing, was leading this man. And this is pretty slow pitch here. This is a soft ball ready to be knocked out of the park when he's talking about the suffering servant. And Philip could readily and easily exegete scripture to say Isaiah was not prophesying about someone else. He was prophesying about the coming Savior and Messiah, who would not be what the Jews expected, like a conquering king, but he would be the suffering servant before he was the conquering king. So as they were going along, the eunuch said, well, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? So whatever Philip told him, he included the full gospel of repentance, faith, water baptism, being filled with the Spirit, all of that. He included that. And he commanded, then the eunuch commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. This is a sign that water baptism should be by immersion as the normal practice. They went into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him there. Now their journey, Philip's journey and the eunuch's journey there, took off after this moment. This was the first African to come to Christ. This was the first moment where a Gentile who is also handicapped, in the sense, and that goes back in the book of Deuteronomy, there were certain kinds of people that were not allowed into the presence of God because of their defects. And a eunuch would not have qualified under the old covenant. But this is the bigness and the vastness of God. God takes us as we are and lets us come into his kingdom through the gift of Jesus Christ, his shed blood on the cross, bids us a welcome into the family and the kingdom of God. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus, who cleanses us from sin and welcomes us into the presence of God. I have three things here that will be very brief. But the first is how can I? Secondly, is who can guide me? And thirdly, who can you invite into your chariot, so to speak, and sit with and mentor and disciple you? The first is how can I? And this is this could go on and on. How can I do anything? How can I understand scripture? But then you think about all the other hows that we have in our life. How can I start a business? How can I grow in God? How can I be a better person? So many hows. How can I improve my relationships? all of this. And I went to Google for that very word, how can I, and found out that these were the five most used questions for Google. Number one, and ranked, start with five, working to number one. The fifth is how many ounces are in a cup? I think that's for beer drinkers, I'm pretty sure. How many ounces go in a cup? Secondly, would be where am I? Like when you get off a train and you ask Google, where am I? That's a great question for Google. Third is, might be a surprise, would be how to kiss. How to kiss, okay. Fourth is how to tie a tie. I've been there before and done that, especially with bow ties. Fifthly, and actually this is the number one most asked question to Google, is what time is it? And this is interesting, but where do you go in life for the more important questions? Where do you go? Who do you have to go to? On the big questions like purpose, relationship, finances, counseling, marriage, fitness, work, Google is not enough. Not enough. Important, but not enough. And I think that it's important that we know that the way God has designed his kingdom is that Google is not your mentor. Mentors go beyond Google into not just passive mentoring, but active one-on-one mentoring. Together can mean T-W-O, gather, together. That's really what it is so often in life. That's what Philip was to this eunuch. Here are three quick verses out of Proverbs that have helped guide my life. You know, so much of any of the success that I've had in life is because I've asked a lot of questions. And I've found a lot of people in this generation feel like they don't need to ask people questions because they have the internet. And it's just, in reality, it's just not enough. Sure, you can use the internet for baking your favorite cake, for wondering how many ounces are in a cup, even how to kiss. So here are those three verses in Proverbs. Where there is no guidance, a people fall, but in abundance of counselors. Look at that. Abundance of counselors, there's safety. That's Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise person listens to advice. And then Proverbs 24:6, something that's really great. By wise guidance, you can wage your war. And in abundance of counselors, there is victories. I think the worst mistakes of my life were because I did not stop to get an abundance of counselors. You know, you can have bad counsel, and that's why you need an abundance of counselors. Very important that we do that. And in this particular context, it was someone who needed to understand the scripture. And that is really important to know. How do you understand scripture? And God made it so that we need others to help us to understand that. I know in the beginning of my walk with Jesus, I met this, I was 18 years old. I had no church background. I did not know the Bible. And thank God, though, that on my hall in my university, when I just come to faith in Christ, pretty much on my own, that I had a man named Philip Hoffman, who actually began to teach me the scripture. And my life was changed because of that. Second question the Ethiopian asks is, who can guide me? And that's a very important question as well. Now, you have to think in terms that this guy was rich. He was influential. He was brilliant. Think federal chairman, think Jerome Powell, think somebody really significant who's the CFO of a large corporation. They're smart. They don't really need a lot of uneducated people coming up and saying, do you understand what you're doing? But in certain areas, we're all weak. In certain, no one can know everything except God. And this is, I think, is really important because this is what happened. The Ethiopian was smart enough to ask for help, say, who can help me and guide me? We all need a guide. We all need a coach. We all need help. We all need input. Many famous golfers, they have a coach. Many famous athletes, they have a coach. They all have a coach. And we cannot disregard the need for someone. They don't even have to be better than us, but they have to be broader than us. And they need to. And we need that kind of help. So you think about a guide, the significance of a guide. I immediately think of a Sherpa at Nepal, who's climbing Mount Everest. There's not one human being that I know of who's climbed to the top of, went to the summit of Mount Everest without a guide. There's a very famous guide in 1953 when Edward Hillary became the first to get to Nepal. Actually, he wasn't alone. He was with Tenzing Norgay, the first, he was the first Sherpa guide to go to the top. And because of recognizing that Edward Hillary would have never been able to get there alone, his guide was the one who got him there. Because of that, Time recognized him as one of the most top 100 most influential people in the 20th century. And he had received an award. He's still broadly known today. Now, Philip was like that guide to this Ethiopian eunuch. And we just read what happened. He read from the book of Isaiah, and remarkably, he was humble enough to say, I want you to help me. John Calvin, one of my favorite patriarchs from the theological world, that is, and John Calvin, in his commentary regarding this man, he said, the modesty of the eunuch who does not only permit Philip, who was one of the common sort, to question with him, but also was willing to confess his ignorance to him. I love that when you meet someone who recognizes someone's humility and their need for advice and counsel. And he goes on and he invites Philip to come into his chariot, which Calvin then says this is another token of his modesty, we would use the word humility, that he seeks an interpreter and he seeks a teacher. This reminds me of one of the gurus of leadership and teamwork, Patrick Lencioni, who wrote a beautiful book, one that I have treasured, and his teaching on this has really helped me, and it's how to find the ideal team player. And Lencioni defines the model team player as a person who embodies three virtues. This person is humble, he's hungry, he or she is hungry, and he or she is committed to people skills. Those three things, hungry, humble, and people skills. These are the three things that we see in both the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, the evangelist. Hungry meaning just I'm not satisfied. There's more to learn. There's more to grow in. I'm open to having someone speak into my life. Humble, the fact that someone is humble enough to admit that they're wrong or admit that they need more help. It's amazing to me how many times I've counseled people and a husband or wife would say that the person I'm married to has never apologized to me. And if that's you, please know that apologies don't make you worse. They actually make you much better. Thank you for your apologies. And it's important to know that you don't lose anything by apologizing or admitting your mistakes and your wrong. There's no shame in the gospel. The gospel erases all of our shame. But the beginning of appreciating the gospel is not just reading it, but turning to God, turning away from something and repenting or acknowledging that the way I've done things in the past is not the best and I can do better. And we've hurt people along the way. And to simply say, I'm sorry, is a big deal. And for those or anyone who's watching this today who I have personally hurt in any way, I am sorry and I want to get it right with you. And hopefully we can be that way. And that's what we see in what Lencioni is saying here. People smart simply means people awareness, emotional intelligence, social intelligence. That's another really important aspect of this as well. The third and the final point here is who can you invite into your life to sit with you? Who can, to be like the Ethiopian eunuch, who can you bring into your life and say, sit with me and explain this to me? The good news is there are an abundance of people who are willing to sit with you and give you their best shot. But I think one of our weaknesses is that so often we're picky about who that person is instead of hungry enough to let anyone teach us. I marvel at my 7 3, they remind me, they're not 7 1/2, they're 7 3/4 of age. And I'm reminded so often by them that they have certain areas in their life that they're smarter than me. It's crazy. I don't need to get into the details of this, but the point is we can learn from anybody. All truth is God's truth. And that means I can listen to a song that's not a Christian song, it's not a Christian book. If it has truth in it, then I can grow by it and learn from it. I'm so thankful that Pastor Adam Burt, our pastor in New Jersey, he's helped launch two of our churches in this church family here, in this church body for the region. He's been incredibly effective. And Pastor Adam, what's wonderful about him is that when I first, in our early relationship, he asked me to mentor him. And I said, what do you mean? Do you want me to just send you some messages to give you some things to read? He said, no, I want you in my life. And I marvel at that because he was so humble and he was a professional athlete. He was way more disciplined than me. He's way stronger than me, bigger than me, probably smarter than me. And he was a great man, but he recognized he had areas in his life where he needed a coach. He needed a mentor. He needed a disciple maker. The scripture tells us very clearly in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that two is better than one. We're better when we tap into the strength of a good friend and we do life together and work together. No one modeled this better than the Apostle Paul. Paul was so great. He was so amazing. He wrote these words in the book of Timothy to Timothy, a younger disciple, someone who Paul picked him up and said, I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. And I think it's important if you're a Christian leader, if you're a professional, that if you're a business owner, go after people who you want to be on your team. Jesus didn't just put up a one ad when he had the 12 disciples. He prayed to God, he fasted, and he pursued those he thought would be best suited to come and follow Jesus. So here's what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. So Paul helped Timothy. Paul poured into Timothy. He invested into Timothy and he took him with him as a travel companion. He taught him the scripture. He taught him how to pray. He taught him how to preach. He taught him to be a better evangelist and gave him apologetics and helped him to defend the faith. He broadened Timothy immensely. There's also something that we don't talk about, but he had Timothy circumcised. He says that he circumcised Timothy, whether he did that himself or he had someone do it, I don't know. But that's what it says, which means this practically, functionally. Paul hurt Timothy. Physical pain was involved here. I don't need to go into the details, but the reality is when someone is investing in you, sooner or later, they're going to cross you. They're going to hurt you, not intentional, not in a bad way, not in a way that is demeaning, but actually in a way that's going to make you or me far more useful. I've been rebuked. I've been corrected. I've been shut up. I have needed so much of that in my life. And I hope that we'll receive that. Everyone needs three people in their lives. Everyone needs a Paul, someone who guides them. Everyone needs a Barnabas, someone who goes with them as a partner, as a colleague, as someone who's a brother or a sister. And then we all need a Timothy, someone that we can invest in. So we're not just a Paul, we're not just a Barnabas, but we're also a Timothy. We need someone to invest in us. Together keeps us not only from being weird. So many people have saved me from being weird. Even before I get on a camera, like in a moment like this, I have to have somebody look at me. Am I okay? Is there anything offensive about me today? Do I have any food hanging out? Is there anything, do I need to wipe anything off my face? I'm thankful for my man Zach back here. I'm thankful for the people around me. It's great to have people who look at us and speak honestly to us and keep us from being weird. God knows that we can be weird without other people. Have you ever noticed that so often we think that we just need everything from God when God says, no, but you need other people because there are certain things that we can't do without people. The other thing is that people propel us forward. People help us to move into our best. And I find that when I'm around people who are seeking and serving God, the people of God, I not only need God, but I need them and I need you. We need each other far more than we recognize and realize. We're running a race. We need encouraging people. We need training people. We need all kinds of people in the race that we're running. And I found that so often in life that when we're together, that great things happen. I was last Sunday after our church service at PS 452. It's off of 60th Street at 215 West 60th Street. And it was remarkable After it was over, we took some friends, Lynette and I, my wife, we took some friends to lunch. And while we were there, the Holy Spirit began to move at our round table. And it was so great because a lady who was nearby, she was one of the owners, and she recognized me from 2 years ago when I went there 2 years ago. And she began to talk. She said, we have a new owner who's working with us. And this new owner came up, and then all of a sudden it was like church got bigger right there in the moment, because she said, I'm from mainland China. I've been involved with the underground house church movement, and I want you and your whole church to come here, and we're going to give anyone who comes from your church 10% off. It was like, it was really a special moment. She said, we have these rooms, we can use these for Bible studies. It was like God was just expanding our understanding that he has people in this city who love us, who embrace us, who want to help us, who want to open their homes, open their apartments, open their stores, their restaurants for kingdom of God activity. It was a big moment. And I was so overwhelmed with joy just because we had a new friend and she was just pouring out, and we were taking pictures together. She wanted to have pictures, and she wanted the other owners to come and get around us and welcome us. And during this pandemic that we've all been through, some things began to shift and change. There are new owners and new things happening. It's so exciting that when I was together with a group of people and the Holy Spirit was moving, all of a sudden it attracted one of the owners to come up. And next thing you know, we have a new place where we can do lunch together and do life together. I thought that was really pretty cool. And so I think that where we are today, that so much of us, so much of life boils down to who will we do it with. We're going to end up 10 years from now, either with a life that we love and we appreciate because we are around the right people, or we got around the wrong people and their negativity or their self level of a lack of awareness oftentimes leads people into something less than what God has for us. Get with the great people who you can do life with. Don't just be passive about getting good mentoring. Any of us can watch any preacher on TV or any great business guru or relational guru. We can do better. We can actually talk to real life people and say, what was it like when you did that business? What was it like when you went to graduate school? And that's part of just being humble and being hungry and being people smart. Together is also two people. Together. It's the same thing. When we were with during the pandemic with people in our Connect group, we prayed. They were having difficulty having children. And we prayed, and both couples ended up with twins during the pandemic. That had to be the highlight of the COVID season for me, to watch what God could do in spite of distance, that we couldn't be together, in spite of the circumstances. Yet God is bigger than all that, because he honors our heart. And when you care about someone, you will invest in them. And when you need help, you'll draw and draft from people. Most people, we can be amazed that most of the most successful people are willing to share anything with anybody. And that would be us. When we're hungry, we're humble, and we're people smart, we'll go after God. And we'll watch what he'll do. As Jesus said, whatever two agree upon as touching anything, it shall be given to them. Today, I hope and I pray that you find those for your life who can help you to be stronger in God, a better person, and more successful in life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of two and three and four, of gospel movements that happen around this city and region because of where we've decided we're going to do this together. I pray, help us to be smarter, wiser, more hungry, and more humble for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.